Hi, you're listening to Petri.com's MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF Chat is going to be all about what's happening lately in the Windows updating and patching space. And my special guest today is Harjit Dhaliwal, who many of you know better as Horj on Twitter. Harjit is a senior sysadmin and a tech evangelist, and he's also a Microsoft MVP. Hi, Horj. Thank you so much for doing the chat with me today.
Hey, MJ. Thanks for having me on this chat today. This is going to be so much fun.
I know. I'm glad you're doing this because we just had the virtual Ignite conference for IT pros. And I found out later that there was a bunch of Windows updating and patching and servicing news that wasn't in the book of news. It was kind of a little bit under the radar. So I thought it'd be fun to have you go through some of the announcements so that we have a better perspective on them.
Yeah, there were a bunch of announcements, particularly focused on modern device management and modern work, right? Because, mm-hmm. The new norm now is working from home and that kind of a thing.
Right.
So, and I believe we are going to talk about a few of these announcements in this chat, right?
Right. So one of the ones that caught my eye right off the bat when I was looking through the list on the Windows IT Pro blog was the fact that Windows Enterprise admins soon are going to get full control over driver and firmware updates. And that's a very different situation than what's possible right now with Intune and Config Manager, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could go over that a bit, like what's going to change and why you think this is important for IT pros to understand.
Yeah, so that is correct, right? I mean, the highlight of this is definitely IT admins will get more control over driver firmware updates. And I know we're going to talk more in depth, very soon. But this has been a pain point with managing devices.
Right.
We can do OSD and stuff like that, but the drivers and firmware has been a major challenge, for sure.
Right, and it's also very inconsistent. It seems like from what I have read, like Intune admins right now have some access to policies that can allow or deny all drivers on devices from when updates, but then they can't allow drivers only after administrative inspection. Sorry, I'm having trouble saying my words here. But then Config Manager has a whole different thing, right? The admins there can't sync drivers from Windows Update with WSUS. So it just feels like it's kind of like a hodgepodge right now. And Microsoft seems to be trying to kind of bring some consistency over the driver and firmware update situation through Windows Update for Business, right?
Yes. Windows Update for Business is the new hot stuff.
Okay.
For this stuff, yeah.
Good. Tell me more about that.
All right. So, let me give a quick definition of what Windows Update for Business is, right? Which is also known as WFB. Sometimes you hear people say WFB, right? The acronym for it. And I'll go back and forth with this because sometimes. And there has been some confusion on what it is and also some resistance from IT admins, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll explain that a little bit here. So Windows Update for Business is really a set of cloud controls to manage which updates are offered, from Windows Update, meaning from the cloud. So when we mention Windows Update, it means from the cloud, right? It's connecting to the Microsoft Cloud Services. And then hopefully it provides, positive end user, update experiences. Mm-hmm. The Windows Update for Business settings can be configured with group policies or mm-hmm. MDMs such as Intune, right? So Intune is also growing fast. Regarding driver and firmware updates, they traditionally have been a major pain point and a huge challenge for IT admins, particularly to implement and deploy. Oftentimes, right, this is, you know, we tend to neglect and forget it once mm-hmm. once we have deployed a device to a user. For example, right, you know, you get a brand new machine or something like that, you image it, you put whatever the latest Windows 10 version is, mm-hmm. You know, you patch it up and everything like that, you give it to the user, and it's kind of forgotten, right? So mm-hmm. you only deal with it on a one-on-one basis, maybe 3 years down the road mm-hmm. From this particular device or this user for something that's not working, right? So it's a one-off thing. You're like, oh, okay, you got this issue. Okay, you need firmware. You need to update your BIOS or your UEFI, or you know, there's some drivers from Dell or HP that we need to add on and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're doing this stuff for like to mitigate security risk, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's so. This is you know, there's this new mechanism that, you know, Microsoft's providing is actually a really neat thing. It's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. In my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I think there's a private preview of this new capability this month. I don't know if they actually said when the final would be rolling out to other people, but yeah, it does. It sounds, at least on paper and on the web, like it's going to be a big deal for IT pros. Me.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. And the neat thing about this is that what it is going to leverage all the cloud things, cloud services.
Right.
So, you know, Microsoft Endpoint Manager, which is, you know, the Intune side of things. And right. So
right.
That is where this stuff is going to come down from. So when you're doing your traditional config manager, which uses WSUS, you can't do any of this stuff.
Right.
You can't, you know, manage drivers and firmware. But what some people have been doing is, like I said, like a one-off basis, like either they are doing it during imaging timeframes, like, okay,
yeah.
Now, right, we update our OSD and we got all the latest BIOS and we got the latest, you know, whatever updates we need. Or you have to use third-party tools. There's mm-hmm. some, you know, MVPs have created this really awesome third-party tools to check on your fleet of devices, right? Whether you have HP, Lenovo's, Dell's, or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it goes out to the manufacturers, get those, you know, drivers, puts it in, it integrates with Config Manager, and then you can do it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still tedious, right? Because you have to
right.
implement this another thing over something that should already have this capability.
Exactly.
Right.
This hits home for me a lot because it's not exactly the same situation, but I have a Surface Laptop 3.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Recently I had a big problem with it. I couldn't see anything on the display. So somebody who was helping me at a computer shop, I saw what he was doing. He was like looking for all the separate drivers that weren't part of Microsoft's drivers and then installing like the Intel drivers and this and that, you know, like layering it on. And then the drivers were conflicting with what Microsoft was downloading onto the machine, right? So it would
right.
say on it, like, which of these two drivers is the most up-to-date driver? And I'm like, oh man, this is such a nightmare.
Right, right. And you know, so why, one of the things why I'm really excited about this is because, and I think it's going to be good for all of us who manage devices, is it comes down to security. One of the
right.
things is about, it's not just about functionality and you know, all that stuff, which is
yeah.
which is really neat, but it also comes down to security mitigations because, mm-hmm. you know, over the last, I don't know, just a few years, and even very recently, some of the major security threats have involved and you need to patch the firmware, like the Intel
right.
you know processors
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
right?
Right,
so you just can't patch Windows, but you gotta patch the hardware as well,
right?
And
I
that
know.
Was
yeah.
that yeah that and that has been such a challenge, like how do you do this
mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah, well hopefully this new service is gonna help a little towards this
right.
goal, making it a little simpler, right?
Right. But for the consumers, right, like if you're a regular consumer or even like you know, a general user, that they did built-in the capability of installing drivers with mm-hmm. Windows Update. So when you go to Windows Update, and I think it's under optional updates or something like that, and then right, but you never.
No one ever checks for that.
No one checks there, right?
they don't.
One, they don't know that they need to check there, and two, like, do I really need this? And
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm always looking at things there going, should I install this or shouldn't I? Right. I know. Okay. So let's move on to another announcement, which I thought could be potentially interesting for IT pros. So there was a blog post about something they called a new Windows Update for Business deployment service. And in that blog post, they said, this is, quote, an exciting next step in the evolution of Windows as a service. And from what I could tell, it was supposed to extend management services to any devices connecting through Windows Update. So so admins could do things like schedule update deployments to start on a specific date or bypass a pre-configured policy. So this sounds like it could be really big, right? Like give IT pros much more granular control.
Right? It is. And that's exactly what I was going to say, right? This is definitely a new the cloud service and an extension of Windows Update for Business. So in its infancy, right, when Windows Update for Business came out, it was very much like very much consumer driven, right? So just like you would, or, you know, your mom and dad, you know, trying to install updates in their computer, right? It was almost like that, but it was made for businesses and enterprises, and they were like, wait, but all I'm trying to do here, if I enable Windows Update for Business, I'm just telling my devices to go out to Windows Updates whenever they're available, install and reboot. So enterprises were very reluctant. This is why I said earlier when we started this chat, there was some resistance. It's because there was no granular control. No, I want to make sure that I'm only delivering these updates on these dates, and I'm controlling reboots. So this new service is going to allow you to do all of that.
Okay.
See, so
that sounds great. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so some of the things that you're going to get out of this new service, you know, you already touched upon it. Like, you can schedule updates to happen on a specific date.
Okay.
You can stage deployments, and they have this thing, it's something new called rich expressions. It's almost like a if this, then that kind of a situation, right? So where you can deploy a particular Windows 10 feature update to, let's say, X number of devices each day, starting on such and such a day, right? So you can do those kind of things. You can override existing Windows Update policies to push out like emergency, patches, and we will we can talk more about that later.
Okay.
You can. There's so many things. There's some machine learning stuff that's built in to where they'll identify and pause deployments, and that Microsoft determines from all the data that they get, and also the validations that they get from customers and also internally from Microsoft itself. But this validation, or this thing, what they call is a safeguard hole. But safeguard hole doesn't work or doesn't apply if you're using WSUS, meaning you're on, right?
Yep.
So you have to use Windows Update, which is the cloud-based mechanism to update, and then you have these protections in place.
Got it.
Yeah.
I know. It is a multi-layered can of worms to mix metaphors.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one that I definitely need help understanding. There was some announcements around known issue rollback, right? Here's what I was puzzled about. Known issue rollback exists at least to some degree, right?
Yes.
Already? So what is actually new that they're announcing at Ignite? Can you give me a brief recap about this?
So known issue rollback, or also known as KIR, that's the acronym they're using, Again, it's a new capability. Well, it's not really a new capability, right? It's to quickly return you to a working condition, right?
Right.
So yep. They did have this already implemented, but very partially in, I believe, in 1809 and 1909, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. But now it is like more in the 2004 and 20 okay. H2 versions and the future ones.
Okay.
So what it really is that apparently Microsoft, you know, their developers, when they code, they'll add these non-security bug fixes in their code, but they also keep, you know, the old code, you know, intact. Like they probably like just comment it out or something like that, right? Uh-huh. So when a problem exists or what they call regressions, and they need to revert, they go back to this code. They basically, you know, unremark the old code and block out the new one. So you kind of go back to the older one, back to where you first started, until they figure out what's going on and come up with a new patch.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is that, you know, you can look at, for example, an analogy I'll use is like a carton of eggs, right? So
right.
We know now patches are deployed as a CU, LCU, right? Mm-hmm. The latest community update. But to the layman, it looks like it's just one update, but actually it's mm-hmm. not. It's like multiple fixes in that one update. So mm-hmm. like a carton of eggs, right? You got 12 eggs in a carton and you got one egg that's gone bad,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to throw out the other 11 mm-hmm. eggs, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you're going to take the one bad egg out, do something like either replace it or not, right? That's uh-huh. basically what this whole known issue rollback kind of mindset works. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It reminds me of something that's ongoing as we're recording this chat, which is the whole printing issue that happened with the latest I think it was the latest set of Patch Tuesday updates. They had
the March ones, yes.
Right. They had a problem with a number of printers and Windows 10. So they had to fix that printing issue. But I think they're up to their third attempt at this, right? So is this an occasion where the known issue rollback would kind of come into play here?
So this is very, very interesting question. So this is my take is that this should be a KIR thing.
Okay.
But according to Microsoft, the people who are delivering the patches, they're saying it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't apply to this particular situation. So there is a blog post on Tech Community by the folks who manage patches, right?
Yeah. Right,
at Microsoft. And I'm a little confused because there's a little short video where they do describe a similar issue with printing. You know, printing gone bad in April 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year. And apparently KIR came into effect and solved and stopped and mitigated those mm-hmm. bad patches.
Okay.
But apparently it doesn't apply right now. So I'm a little confused. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking this would be the perfect case for this. So the other thing that is really interesting about this KIR thing is that they're also saying that they provide group policies for these specific use cases. Like, let's take this printing thing, for example. So they discovered it, they said they're going to roll back whatever. So if you're an on-prem admin and you're using WSUS and stuff, obviously you're not going to be able to use KIR, right? Because it's all
right.
cloud-based. So what they're doing is that they're giving you group policies for this one particular KB, mm-hmm. Windows Update KB, right? And which they will put in the release notes and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But so with that, what you can do is that once you add that to your group policy, you can deploy it and next thing you know, everybody's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what happens though. Each of those KBs are individualized. So over time, let's say in a year, if you do this twice a month or something like that, right, you're going to start seeing a bloat of of group policies in your in your group policy management console, right? And the way sysadmins work is like once we set a group policy, we really kind of don't look back, right?
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, there was a problem with this particular thing. Here's a group policy and boom, we set it. And then, you know, you, maybe 5 years down the road or something, someone will, someone new comes in or whatever and says, hey, what is this for? I don't know. Right?
It's just sitting there, yeah.
So that's one of the concerns, and they need to fix that. They can't have these group policies just bloating the environment.
Yeah. Got it. I know. Like I said, many layers of issues on all of these services, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to talk about security, right? Because what is the chat talking about security?
Well, they work hand in hand, though.
They do. So what? Another one of the Ignite announcements was about how Microsoft is trying to expedite Windows 10 security updates within the Endpoint Manager Admin Center.
Yes.
I believe that's also coming soon as a public preview. What's this going to mean to admins, in your opinion?
So again, this is going to be utilizing Windows Update for Business, right?
Okay.
Windows Update, the cloud-based.
Right.
So right now, when a emergency patch comes out, for example, there were some this month and you know some in the previous months because of some major security blowout. Oftentimes, these out-of-band patches, they're not available in WSUS, right? You know, they're not delivered that way.
Yeah.
So you literally have to go and import it, like go into the catalog, import it, add it, sync it, and so on and so forth, then deliver it.
Mm.
So this expediting thing is what it does is that you can have your existing Windows Update for Business settings or profiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your different, targeting, like, you know, your... Some people, when they deliver patches, they deliver to their insider group first, like maybe five devices or five users. And then they'll expand it. After 2 days, they'll expand that to the first wave and then the second wave and so on. What this does is that this doesn't change that, but it will push that emergency patch above all else and lets you install that first, pausing everything else. Once this emergency patch is installed and is successful, then it re-enables those other policies that you have with Windows Update for Business.
Okay.
So it's a quick way to remediate things, right?
Okay, yep.
So otherwise you gotta right, because otherwise you have to restructure your whole patching methodology, right? You go like, wait, I've got this one, but is it, it's not, but I'm also delivering the other patches and this is not gonna work, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pausing things and let's get this in first and then here's another analogy I just thought about. So it's like a VIP,
right,
who's got a police escort, right?
Right, because so, you can hear the sirens in the background here.
Right, there you go. So you got a police escort, so instead of waiting in traffic, you just have other cars move to the side. You let the VIP go through. And then after that, the rest of the traffic goes through. It's kind of simple.
Yeah, it's all about prioritization, right?
Which exactly.
Is an issue. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're getting to the fun part. We get a couple reader questions here for you. And I like this one a lot from Taro Elhonen on Twitter. He wants to know what you think about the future of on-prem WSUS.
Okay.
And you know, we've been mostly talking about cloud updates during this chat, but we've mentioned WSUS a couple times. And he says he noticed that it hasn't gotten any major updates, and the latest policy gives users yet another option to use cloud services and not on-prem. So what do you, this is just your opinion, but what do you think is going to happen with on-prem WSUS?
So Tiro makes a very good point, and this has been raised by many config manager admins, and who has this love and hate relationship with WSUS, and I would say more like hate than actually love. So, because you know what, Config Manager requires WSUS to be there, right? It needs WSUS. And so that's one of the required components. So you got no way around it. And then there are a lot of complexities to keeping it running, you know, like a well-oiled machine, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta do regular maintenance things to it. You have to you know, clean up the database and do your indexing and tune IIS and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there are times like syncing will break, or you know, or you'll have a bloat and things like that, and things don't clear out. You'll have to like sometimes uninstall WSUS and reinstall. So it is really a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think WSUS is going to be around for a little longer, mm-hmm. or at least until it's no longer a dependency for Config Manager, right?
Yeah, right.
So until we don't get rid of that dependency, it's going to be around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've seen all these announcements from, you know, Microsoft and the whatever, and we can see the direction that they're moving, right? Which is cloud. Right? Cloud-centric mm-hmm. ecosystems. That's where things are moving. Windows mm-hmm. Update for Business, right? That's in, you can see the writing on the wall, right? Because things are moving, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is. And I think Windows Update for Business is gonna have more and more and more features added to it over time. And then WSUS mm-hmm. is just kind of gonna fizzle away. But at the same point, WSUS is actually also used by quite a few companies or organizations to patch like their servers, because standalone, not even using Config Manager, right? Standalone, mm-hmm. because it's free, it can do what it's supposed to do, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have granular controls, right?
You know,
so it's still being used, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe some small organizations and stuff.
Yeah. I know. I feel like it's a similar discussion to Windows Server on-prem and Office on-prem. There are people who use it, right? And so as long as there are customers, especially some important customers of Microsoft who want it, they're going to keep it around.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Another good Windows question from Taro. And this one I think is pure speculation, but maybe you know an answer I don't know here. And he asked if we have heard anything about what Microsoft's likely to do with Windows 10 21H1, which isn't out yet for the mainstream, in terms of support. So usually the way Windows support has been working, Windows 10 support, is 18 months of support for enterprises and education. Sorry, we have more sirens. For H1 feature updates, and then 30 months of support for H2. But this year is different because the H1 update of Windows 10 is supposed to be very minor, almost like a cumulative update. And H2 is supposed to be pretty big and substantial. So he's wondering, do we think they could flip it this time and make it be 30 months for H1 and 18 for H2?
No, I don't think so. You know, 21H1, you know, it just came out, I think just a couple of days ago or a few days ago as a commercial pre-release, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's still under testing, it's still under Windows Insiders and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So when you look at it, like you mentioned earlier, 18 months and 30 months, the spring versions, which is the 21H1, mm-hmm. is always 18 months, mm-hmm. right? And then the fall ones are going to be the second one is always going to be the 30 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they kept it different like that, which creates a lot of challenges with maintenance and right. So mm-hmm. And you also talked about, like, you know, there's not much difference. Yes, because 21H1 is really, from my understanding, it uses the same code as mm-hmm. 20H2 and 2004, right.
Yeah.
The even the cumulative updates are the same, right? And stuff like that. So it's still under testing. So if there was really a you know, an RTM version right now, then mm-hmm. then we can say something different. But it's still under testing, right?
Right.
We're already in March, so by the time it's gonna come out, it'll be May, right?
Right.
Give another few months, there'll be 21H2, which is gonna have a ton of features.
Yep.
This 21H1 is going to morph into that. Mm-hmm. And then you have 30 months. And a lot of my peers that I talk to, right, who work in various organizations, and most of them, 90% of them will skip the spring version all
right.
the time. They don't even deploy that. They don't even give that as an option
right.
to their users. Because why you have that longer time frame to have some breathing room, mm-hmm. right? To figure out your applications, compatibility, and all that stuff rather than, yeah. Because mm-hmm. by the time it comes out and even that, and then you want to try to deploy it, you're already going to lose a few months from that.
Right.
So the 18 months not going to be 18 months. It might be 12 months maybe.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
So I would say skip it, you know, but definitely use it as a test, you know, test it out, mm-hmm. play with your, you know, your line of business applications and give Microsoft feedback about what you're seeing and bug mm-hmm. fixes and stuff like that. That's what they want you to do. They mm-hmm. they want you to give them that information. So,
okay.
Right.
You see, you think business as usual, basically, right?
right.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Last question for you, because we're pretty much out of time here, is about resources. So I've mentioned a couple times Microsoft's Windows IT Pro blog, but I'm sure there are lots of other resources that you might recommend or suggest for people who want to keep up with what's going on in Windows patching and servicing and updating. Any off the top of your head suggestions here?
So there are lots out there,
yeah.
And I've got an RSS feed of a bunch of them. But
oh, wow,
one
nice.
Of yeah. Mm-hmm. So and I keep a very close pulse on patches. Like every mm-hmm. month, I'm like, you know, monitoring this stuff. You know, sometimes a week before it happens and the day it happens and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've started doing to help the community is I've started my own blogs every month about each month's patches.
Mm,
so
nice.
On my blog site is hodget.us and you'll see one I started in January, February, March. And then I put some updates to it, like as I find like, oh yeah, you know, on such a day now there's a new update for this, mm-hmm. whatever. And I also cover third-party patches as well, like, you know, Oracle, Java,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, things like that, right? Adobe. Right?
Uh-huh.
So it's like a one-stop shop kind of a thing for people. And
mm-hmm.
I have
neat.
Links
okay.
to go to. So that's one site. And then obviously my Twitter. I'm very
right.
active on Twitter. And my friend Anoop Nair from India, he's a huge... Microsoft Endpoint Manager guy, and we started a technical YouTube show called Namaste Techies, right?
Oh, cool!
and you know, I can tweet that out and all that stuff. So we started doing that stuff too. We started sharing there as well. So there's lots of information. I think the best, easiest is to follow my blog and then expand out from there, because I provide all the other resources there.
Great. I didn't know about your blog, so that's a
yeah.
new resource for me.
Oh,
I follow
good.
You on Twitter, obviously, and if you don't already follow Harjit, he's at Horge, Horge, right?
Yes, that's right.
On
yep.
Twitter.
Yep.
So you should follow him.
Thank you.
All right, Harjit, thank you so much for taking all the time and explaining all these posts, because there were a lot of them, and I felt a little befuddled, I have to admit, at the end.
Yeah.
So now I feel better about understanding them.
Yeah, no, and you know, really, thank you for having me again. And I know I did this with you once before.
You did. Yep.
It's a lot of fun, and it's nice to just be, you know, cordial and just talk about this stuff. And hopefully, like you know, your listeners will have something to walk away from this chat that we had.
For
and,
sure.
And definitely reach out, and I encourage them, you know, to reach out to me. I'm not closing the doors. You know, reach out, contact me if you need some assistance or information and things like that, and I'm happy to engage.
No, that's great. Thank you very much for doing that. I use you that way myself sometimes when I need help on patches. So thank you very much.
Yes, you do.
For everyone else listening right now to this chat or reading the transcript, I will be putting up more information soon about who my next guest is going to be. And once you see that, you can submit questions directly on Twitter using the hashtag MJFChat. In the meantime, if you know of anyone else or even yourself who might make a good guest for one of these chats, do not hesitate to drop me a note. Thank you very much.
All right. Great. Cheers, everybody.